So we are continuing Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, our Chazara. I'd like to finish today if we can, and then Miss Hashem, we're going to start a brand new sugya. We are on the Chof Ches Omud base, towards the top. Uba'al Imoy. If you have it, it's on the seventh line. There he is, the man himself. Good morning, Rav Nachum. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, good, Rabbi.
Yeah, all good in Mishkafayim.
As good as it can be.
Wonder what that means.
Just that. I know what Nachum means. I understand Nachum's language. Okay, this time next week, we look forward to seeing those who will be in Gimel, or maybe I'll see you in Aleph. You never know where we'll bump into each other. What's Hashem? But I can't imagine Purim without having the Gallows history.
What are the Zmanim that Rebbe's in the house?
I Be'ezus Hashem, I hear the whole day except for Shacharis, obviously, and Mincha time. I'm not sure. Mincha, I'll let you know. Either 12:30 or 1. And then for the Suda, where are you for the Suda, Nachum?
Maslin.
Ah, okay, nice. So you can come then, come back. The whole Kehila come to us after the Suda. We have a whole big Kumzitz here. It's very special. So you can come back again. Okay, back to our subject. Zot the Hilige Gemara daf Chof Ches Omud Beis. Uba'al Imoy. So the Gemara asks, the Mishnah says, Uba'al Imoy, your mother's husband, who? Ubnoya Chasone. Now, who is the son of the husband of your mother? Surely that son is your brother, even if not a full brother, but at least a half brother. And if he's a half brother, well, obviously he's posseled. So what's the chiddush? Says the Gemara, benoi hainu achiv? Question mark. Your stepfather's son is your brother, at least a half brother. Omer Abirmi aloi, we're talking about aloi nitzrach el ala achi ha'ach, your brother of your brother. Meaning, your mother's second husband brought in a son from a previous marriage. So even if he happened to have children with your mother, but this is not that son. So this is your half-brother's half-brother. So your half-brother's half-brother, that's the chiddush is posel eidus. Rav Chista, achsha ba'achia ach. Rav Chista said, no. That's 100% kosher. He's not related to you in any which way. You share neither a mother nor a father. Have you not heard Rabbi Yirmiyah said that that case is possible? Not just I haven't heard of it, I don't agree with it either. So the question is, if that's the case, how does he learn the Mishnah? If he holds that your half-brother's half-brother is kosher, so what was the Mishnah talking about? And if the Mishnah means your half brother, then the question comes back: what's the chiddush? Ihochi, hainu achiv. Answers the Gemara: you're right. Tana achiv min ha'av, v'ktani achiv min ha'aim. It's telling you all the various different types of brothers. It's just spelling it out. But ultimately, yes, that's exactly what it means. It does mean that brother who is in fact your half brother. So you have a very big machlokes whether your step brother. We must always distinguish between a half-brother and a step-brother. So is a half-brother is definitely posel eidus. But a step-brother, whether a step-brother is posel eidus, so that clearly is a machlokes in the Gemara between Rav Yirmiyah and Rav Chista. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin like Rav Chista. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Chista, Avi Chosen. What's Avi Chosen? The father of your son-in-law, what do we call that? Your mechutn. Va'avi hakala, or the father of your daughter-in-law, mechutanim. Mi'idin ze'al ze'a v'lo yidomi l'hadodi. They're not considered connected, even though, as it were, your children are married to each other, but you are not, as it were, related in any which way to your mechutn. Even though your children are married to each other, you may well share grandchildren, but you're not related to your mechutn and your kosher la'idus. Ela Ki'ochla ledana. What was ki'ochla ledana? Like we said, a lid of a barrel that doesn't fit. In other words, there's no connection, there's no, it doesn't fit at all. Omer Rabba Bachano made Odom le'ishtoi aruso. We discussed this at great length last time. Erusin is not what we call nowadays engagement. Erusin is a real ishus ish, except they're not fully married yet, they're not living together. So Rabba Chana says, you can be made. Omer Avina, loy omron ella afukimino. You can only testify if it's to, as it were, to take from her. Avale yuli lo, lo. But not if it's to bring it into the marriage, because then he's clearly got negius. He's clearly got negius. But if it's to take money out of her, then obviously he's got no negius. Says the Gemara of Elohi, it's not true. Loi shno la'afuke, v'loi shno le'yuli. Loi mehemon. You're not believed at all. So you have a big machlokes. He says you cannot testify, says the Gemara, about your arusa at all, whether for or against. Not like the first opinion. So my daitich. Why are you holding this? Says the Gemara, why do you hold? The first opinion says you are allowed to be made about your arusa. That was the first opinion. The second opinion is that, no, you can't. So the second opinion turns around to the first opinion and says, one moment, why did you hold that you're allowed to be made about your arusa? In other words, you hold that you're not considered connected, you're not considered a korov in any way. Why is that? Could the Omer of Chia bar ami mishmei de'ula ishtei arusa loy oinein loy metamelo v'chein hi loy oinenes loy metamelo meisa ina yorsha meisu geva ksubasa. So we discussed this last time. It seems to be, excuse me, that Ula tells you that an oinon, an arusa, is not considered related to you. Therefore, there's no halachas of aninos or tumah, etc., etc. So is that what you meant to say? That that's why you can testify about her? Well, if that's the case, says the Gemara, I'm sorry to tell you, that's not a proof. Because hasam b'she'eiroi tola rachmona. Over there, it all depends on being she'eiroi. She'eiroi means a fully fledged wife. Rashi quoted psukim to demonstrate for us that these particular halachas are dependent on whether you are or not a fully fledged wife. So an arusa, we all agree, is not a fully fledged wife. So therefore, akati lav she'eiroi, they're not yet a fully fledged wife. But hocha is mishum ikruvei daita hoivo, ikruvei daita legabei. Over here, it's not dependent on whether you're a blood relation. It depends on whether you have a kiruv hadas. What does it mean, a kiruv hadas? You have some closeness of mind. So clearly, the woman that you're planning on getting married to, albeit that she's not yet considered a fully fledged wife, but you clearly have kiruv hadas, and that's why you cannot testify. So I'm sorry to say, says the Gemara, don't bring me a proof from the halachas of aninos and tuma. There it all depends on she'eroi. Here it depends on kiruv hadas. Says the Gemara, chor goy levadoi. Your stepson you cannot testify about, but it's only him alone. Meaning, his son-in-law is not included in this. Ton rabbonon chor goy levadoi. Rebbe Yosi omer gisoi, brother-in-law. Vatanya idach gisoi levadoi. Rabbi Yehuda omer chorgoi. It's all very unclear. My comma. Ile mahochi comma chorgoi levadoi vuhu adin legisoi. If it means that a choreg is by himself, only he's possible. So too a brother-in-law is the same. Vaasa Rabbi Yehuda lemei meda gisoi levadoi. Vuhu adin lechorgoi. So each one is basically telling you the exact same thing. One is telling you a gisoi, so to chorgoi. The other one's telling you chorgoi, so to gisoi. Well, that all comes to the same thing. Elo masnising diktoni gisoi hu benoi v'chasonoi mani. But we do have a mufurish mishnah that says gisoi is not levadoi. It applies to his son and son-in-law as well. That will not fit in according to any opinion. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yosi. Elo hochi koma chorgoi levadoi. So the first opinion is that only chayrig is levada, your brother-in-law applies to the children as well. Rabbi Yosi levadoi, aval chorgoi hu ubenoy v'chasana, the exact opposite. Ve'elo ha the tani Reb Chiya shmoina avoy shein esrim v'arba k'man. Loik Reb Yosi v'loik Reb Yehuda, because everybody agrees that either Chorogoy or Gisoy, one of them, it applies to the children as well. Elohi kama Chorogoy levadoy. Avol Gisoy hu ubenoy v'chasanoy. Therefore, a mas nisa in Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah is clearly Rabbi Yehuda, that only Chorogoy Levadoy, and the Braisa is Rabbi Yosi. The Braisa is Rabbi Yosi, that it's only those eight relations that the psul is also for their children, but not Gisoy or Chasson. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol Halacha Rabbi Yosi. Fine. Hahi Matanta. Remember, we had the story of the Shtar Matana. Davachas Meoleh Trey Gisi, two brothers-in-law, signed this Shtar. Sovar Rabbi Yosef Lachshuri. The Omer Yudah Mashvol Alocha Rabbi Yosi. We thought that if you say Alocha Rabbi Yosi, then you're telling me that two brothers-in-law are kosher le'edos. Says the Gemara, no, Omeleh Abayim, Mimayid Rabbi Yosi, the Masnisin, the Machshir Begisai. The Omer Rabbi Yosi, the Braisa, the Posel Begisai. Which Rabbi Yosi were we referring to? You assumed, who says correctly, that when we said halacha Rabbi Yosi, we mean halacha Rabbi Yosi, as in, it all depends on Yerusha and two brothers in law are kosher le'edos. And that's why you wanted to kosher the shtar. Who says that's what we meant, Bichlal? Okay, so he tried something else. What did he try? Lois al kadatoch says the Gemara. No, it can't be. Doma Shmuel kugoina no Pinchas davinon achi vegisi avol gisi da al meshapir domi. Remember, he said that my brother-in-law, who happens also to be my brother, is posel. So it sounds like the only reason he's posel is because he's both a brother and also a brother-in-law. But had he only been a brother-in-law, he may well have been kosher. So it really does seem to show us that a brother-in-law is kosher leidos. So I'm fully entitled in this Shtar Matana. If I see the two brothers-in-law are testifying, I'll say they're kosher. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what he meant. Maybe when he says that I am possible, my brother-in-law, he's really pointing to the fact that there's a brother-in-law, even without the brother bit. So brother-in-law itself would be possible. Okay, so he tried something different. Omalei zil kanye be'ede masira kerbeloza. Be makne the shtar, bring the edim who said that you handed over the shtar. Remember, we said that Rabbi Loza's opinion is edim masira karti, which means as long as you have edim who see they handed over the shtar, even if there's no edus in the shtar, it's okay. So let's just ignore the fact that the brothers-in-law have signed the shtar. We won't rely on them, and we'll rely on the edim who said that we saw that the shtar was handed over. Says the Gemara, that won't help either. The Edim who see the shtar handed over can only help when there are no Edim in the shtar. So if they're in the shtar is empty, so we don't have Ede Chasima, so then Rabbi Loza says we rely on Ede Masir. But if there are Edim who signed the shtar, the problem is they're possible because they're brothers-in-law. Well, I'm afraid to say that the Edim who testified that the shtar was handed over, that will not help. So everything he's tried to kosher this case has not worked. Amalei zil, she said, sorry, off you go. Loi shov kili do isvinu l'cha. They're not allowing me. I've tried everything to ensure that this matona, you have a shtar matona, I've tried to ensure that the matona is considered yours. And I've tried, they've passed the edus, they've passed the shtar, every which way I tried, doesn't work. Rav Yehuda Oime, says the Gemara. Remember, Yehuda says that if you had somebody who was a Korov, but is no longer a Korov, then they are nonetheless possible. Not like the first opinion. We had two opinions in the Mishnah. What's halacha of somebody who was related, but is no longer? So the Tanakhama says, kosher. Rav Yehuda says, possible. Omer of Tanchum, Omer Tablo, Omer Bruno, Omer Rav, halacha k'Rav Yehuda. So what does it mean, halacha k'Rav Yehuda, that we maintain that if they were once related, then they remain posel, even if they're no longer related? Says the Gemara, Ike de Masni, Oh, sorry, Rava Oma or Rav Nachman, Ein Halacha Kribi Yudah. Omar Rabachan, Omar Beichnan, Ein Halacha Kribi Yudah. So a big machlekes, do we paskin like Kribi Yudah or not? Heke the mastin alahod Rabachan aho. Et zu dorash Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Rabbi Yosi Haglili made a drash u bosa la kreinim alavim el ha-shefet asher yeh ba yomim hohem. You'll come to the shofet who's there at the time. Now, what does that mean? You obviously can't come to a shofet who was there 500 years ago. V'chisala al da'atcha she'odom hoylech eitzal shofet sheloi hoya b'yomov. Why must the Torah write, you'll go to the shofet who's there in those days? Elo, she'zeh she'yokoroi v'nisrachik. It's talking about somebody who was related and then now is no longer related. And Rabbi Yosi Haglili says, b'yomim hoheim, that's kosher. Yes, that's okay. So that's what we were referring to. So it seems to be that he holds halacha lemaisa, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you had somebody who was once upon a time related, but they no longer are, everything is fine. Says the Gemara, b'nei chamua d'mar ukva, kroivim v'nisrachku. They were related, but they're no longer related because the wife passed away. So kroivim v'nisrachaku hava. Also lekamei ledina. Amalu pasilnu l'chu ledina. I'm afraid to say that you're apostle. Why? Amru lei mai daitach k'Rabbi Yehuda. Are you trying to tell me that you paskenai k'Rabbi Yehuda, that somebody who was once related remains posel le'edus forever? Anan mai sinan igrasem imarava. I can bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael. De'ein alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So we don't pass tonight, that says the Gemara. Omalahu otu bekava dekira idbeku bechu. I didn't mean to say that you're glued together, you're still related. Deloi kamina psul choladina elam shum deloi tsaisi suladina. The reason why I pass the Leifaedus, you're quite right. We do not pass tonight, Rabbi Yehuda. And the fact that you were once related is irrelevant because you no longer are. That's not why I pass the Leifaedus. I passed you leaders because you do not listen to din. And if you don't listen to the dayanim, that itself disqualifies you from edus. Okay, says the Gemara, Oyev zeshushbino, somebody that they call in Yiddish, the unterfira, the one who guides you to the chuppah. For kamo, how long for? Omar of Abba, Omar of Yirmi, Omar of Kol Shivas Yimeha Mishta, all 7 days of Sheva Brachas, Rabbono Mishmei, the Rav Omar, no, afilu meyeim rishin ve'elech, even as long as the chuppah is finished, after that you're kosher. So if machlokes, how long is he considered the shushbin for? Is it only the day of the chuppah, or is it for all 7 days? What about a soine? A soine, kol shaloi dibra, if you haven't spoken 3 days because you're angry, not just because you haven't met somebody, that's considered a soine. Tan rabbono. Where do we get this from? Vohu loy oyev loy ye'idenu v'loy mevakeish ra'ose. Yedinenu Ashkechon Soine. So that's what we learn Alach of Oyev. What about Oyev? Somebody who you love, a friend of yours, how do I know that he's also disqualified? Minolon. Kori Behochi Vuhuloi Oyev Loi Veloi Oyev Loi Yehidenu Veloi Mavakishra Osa Veloi Tevosi Yedidenu. It's a play on words. If it says Oyev, which means enemy, it can be read as it were Oyev, somebody who loves you, which is obviously problematic because that's not what it says in the Torah. Says the Gemara, midi oyev ksiv. Doesn't say oyev, it says oyev. Elo svarahu. You're right. It's not a drasha, it's logic. Oyev, my timer. Why is he enemy? Not kosher le'edos, mishum de mercha kedaiti. Because you want to be merachakim, you don't get on with him. Oyev nami is the other way around, mikarave daiti. So either way, you have a vested interest, either for or against, but it's the same logic. V'rabbonon, they say everything is fine because hay loy oyev le mevakish taitim my dor shibe chad le dayan. It's not referring to edus, it's referring to a dayan. You cannot judge somebody that you don't like. Why not? Because you're not going to try and find a zechus for him. And the other pasuk is idach kedetanya om rabbi yisib rabbi yudav uhu loy oyev le mevakish rosei means mikan sheshnei talmidei chachomim sheseinin zeh shein yeshvim bedin ke'echot. So Rabbanon learned that both of these halachas are not referring to testimony, rather they're referring to a dayan who hates the litigant, or a dayan who does not get along with the fellow dayan. Both of those cases is possible. Okay, that was a brief chazara. We're now beginning Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, a brand new sugya, absolutely new, not connected to anything we've learned so far. Zok the Mishnah, fascinating Mishnah. Keitzad boidkin es ho'edim. So we're slowing down a little bit now. Keitzad boidkin es ho'edim. The Mishnah now takes our hands through the case, the edim, walk into Bezdim, and we're going to cross-examine them. Remember, we're talking for the moment about the simple case of Momonos, where the edim testify that Reuven owes Shimon. So how exactly do we test the edim? Says the Mishnah, Hoyu machnisin oison l'cheder. They would bring them into a room, uma'ayimin alehen. Now, what's translation of that word? Ma'aymin alehen literally means, and you would scare them. But it's not clear how you would do so. The Mishnah doesn't.
Here it says intimidate them.
Intimidate them. So it's not clear how exactly you'd intimidate them. So if you look at Rashi, the first Rashi, ma'aymin alehen mafarash b'gemara. Okay. As we always point out, if Rashi says mafarash b'gemara means that it's not self-explanatory. If it was self-explanatory, then Rashi wouldn't need to refer you to the Gemara. So it's not clear, what does that mean? Ma'ayimin aleihem. Why are you ma'ayin aleihem? How are you ma'ayimin aleihem? None of those details are told to us, but the Gemara does teach us. So we'll get there in a session. Back into the Mishnah. U'moitzien es kol ha'odom. L'chutz. So you send everybody out. And you leave the godoil, the greater of the two edim. And then you start cross-examining him. So first they were both there with everybody around and you intimidate them, however that's done. And now the Bezdin are there with the more senior or the more prestigious or prominent of the two edim. And they would say to him, okay, let's hear then. Emoir, please tell us, heich ato yoidea. How do you know shezeh chayev lozeh? How exactly do you know that Reuven owes Shimon money? Merely to walk into Beis Din and say, Reuven owes Shimon money is clearly not enough. That's not edus. That's just a fact. But we need to know, what is your edus based on? What exactly did you see? How do you know that Reuven owes Shimon money as you claim? Now, listen very carefully. Im Omar, if he responds, Hu Omar li shani chayev loy. He might well say, do you know how I know? How do I know that Reuven owes Shimon money? Because Reuven told me so. Reuven said in front of us very clearly, I borrowed money from Shimon. Can't get clearer than that. That's one possibility. Alternatively, Ish Ployni Omar Li Shehu Chayev Loi. Or maybe I didn't hear it directly from the Loiva, but I heard it from Ish Ployni. Somebody called Chaim told me that Reuven owes Shimon money. So if you want to know, what am I basing my edus on? How do I know that Reuven owes Shimon money? Either because Reuven himself told me or Chaim told me. Either of those two cases, says the Gemara, I'm very sorry to tell you, Loi Omar Klum. That's not worth anything. We'll see in a second why. After all, if Reuven admitted in front of these two edim that he borrowed money from Shimon, well, he's incriminated himself. Why isn't that the best proof? How can I have a better proof that Reuven owes Shimon money than Reuven himself admitting as such? So we'll see in a second. So what would constitute good edus? Ad sheyoymar befoneinu in front of us, hoideloi. Not just he told us, but in front of us, he admitted to him, shuchayevloi mosayim zuz. So these two Edom, let's call them Yisocha and Zvulun. Yisocha is the more senior, the more godel. So Yisocha is now being cross-examined by the Bezdin. Yisocha, how do you know, as you claim, that Reuven owes Shimon money? So if you say, because Reuven told me, or Chaim told me, not good enough. But if you say, Reuven actually admitted, he owned up, that he owes money to Shimon, and he owned up to Shimon himself. So not just he told us, but we were there when he actually owned up to Shimon, to the person who's claiming the money from him. Ah, that's clear, Edus. Now look at Rashi. Ma'aymin aleihem mefarash b'gemara. Hu omar li, haloive omar li. The borrower told me. The borrower told me. No, that's not a good proof. Says Rashi, no, loy omar klum. Why? Why would Reuven possibly admit to Yisocha and Zvulun that he owes Shimon money if in fact he doesn't? Why would a person do such a thing? Says Rashi, I'll explain to you what the logic, what the psychology is. The Ovid, Inish, because it's normal for a person. The Omar to say that Ployni Noishabi, that somebody lent me money and I owe a lot of money. Why? What do I gain by that? Kedei, in order, Shelo Yachzikuhu Oshin, that nobody should think I'm a wealthy person. If I can just moan and groan and kvetch about how much money I owe, oh yes, I admit I borrowed money, $1 million from Reuven, and $1 million from Shimon, $1 million. Why might a person do that? Just, I don't want people to think I'm wealthy. Really, the guy is a multi-millionaire and he's got people knocking on his door all day long, asking for donations for Koidel Darche Yitzchok. So he's had enough. So what does he do? He kvetches and he says, oh, you know, I owe $1 million to Reuven, I owe $1 million to Shimon, and whatever, he feels so sorry for him now. Oh, I didn't realize you're such a big Baal Choyv. I didn't realize you've accrued such enormous debt. And now everybody leaves him alone. If that's the case, then we don't actually have clear proof that he owes the money at all. Doesn't owe the money. At least we cannot be certain that he owes the money. Because the only reason that he's admitted to the money, perhaps, is because he has some cheshbon that it's kedai for him, that people should think that he's in debt, that nobody should think that he's got money. However, says Rashi, but if hoideloi, shahoyu shnehem befoneinu, if Reuven and Shimon, both the borrower and the lender, were both in front of us, it's not like the previous case where Reuven came to us and said, I owe a lot of money to Shimon. Ah, well, maybe then he just said so because he doesn't want people to think he's got money. But if Reuven and Shimon said that, where we're standing in front of us, Lohoidois Nishaven, well, then clearly he intended Shahoyu Shnein and Befonenu Lohoidois Nishaven Liois Loi Eidim Bedavar. If he admitted in front of the person who's claiming the money, and he did so in front of two people, well, then he's not doing jokes. Then he's clearly doing so in order that we should be Edom. I hereby admit, fair and square, absolutely, I must be perfectly honest, that yes, I owe money. So then his kavana is clearly for Edus. Bishlam in the first case, where the lender is not there. So why is he going around telling people? It's not Edus, there's no Edus. The Edom didn't see him admitting to the malva. So clearly he's just griping and kvetching and whinging that people should think that he's poor. But if he admitted in front of the Edim to the lender, ah, that's a different story. If he admitted to the lender, there we clearly say that, yes, that's a different thing. And in fact, it must be it must be that he actually does owe the money. That would constitute good aids. Okay. So far we've cross-examined one aid. Back into the Mishnah. V'achar kach machnisin es hasheini. Well, then they bring in the second guy and they ask him the same. Uboid kinoisa, and they check him as well. Clearly they want to hear to see whether their edus is aligned. Im nimtzu divreim mechuvanim. If they find that their words, their testimony is mechuvan. Mechuvan means parallel to each other. They're aligned. They're saying the same thing. If not, then obviously the whole case is just adjourned. But if the edus does seem to be in line with each other, then noisin v'noisnim b'davar. Then the bezdin, what does it mean, noisin v'noisin? Then they will discuss it back and forth. If the edus was not in line, then they don't even discuss the case. As far as we're concerned, two edim who offer contradictory edus are not edim. So they're thrown out, the case is adjourned, there's nothing to discuss, there's no masa umatan. But if the Edom's Edos was in line with each other, so it definitely suggests that telling the truth, now we have to consider the case. And noisim v'noisim, which means they discuss it forwards and backwards. How do they come up with a verdict? Says the Gemara, depends. Shnayim oimrim zakai. Remember, there's three dayanim on the Bezdin. If two say he's innocent, ve'echod oimechayev, well then he's zakai. Well then he's innocent because you follow the majority. So too the other way around, if shnayim oimrim chayev, ve'echod oimechayev, well then he's chayev, 2-1. But what happens if echod oimechayev, ve'echod oimechayev? What happens if it's a split verdict? One says zakai, innocent, and the other says chayev, or afilu shnayim mezakim, or even if two really said he's innocent, oy shnayim mechayvim. But the problem is ve'echad oimer eino yoideya. I don't know. Yosifu es adayon, yosifu adayonim. Then they add dayonim. They add dayonim. Now, why is this a tremendous chiddush? If you have one who says innocent and one who says guilty, so I understand that's a split verdict, and the third Bezdin, the third Dayan says, I don't know. So it really is split. So I understand you have to add Dayanim. But when two out of three said he's Chayev, or two out of three said he's Potter, who in the world cares that the third Dayan says, I don't know? But surely his psak is irrelevant anyway, because he cannot overturn the other two. So I've got a majority without him, so why do I need to add Dayanim? So what do I see from this case? I see a very important lesson, a very important chiddush. That if two out of three say is chayev and the third says I don't know, that's not a bezdin. The Dayanim have to offer a psak. So if two say chayev and one says potter, all three have offered their opinion, then you would go with a majority opinion. But if two said chayev and the third says, I don't know, that's not called a majority of opinion. It just means part of your bezdin is dysfunctional. That's not a bezdin. That's not a bezdin. So therefore, you'd have to add more dayanim in order to shore up the bezdin. It's a very, very, very important halacha. It means, really, if we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, Dinei Momonos B'Shloisha, It's not just dinim mamonos b'shloisha because we need at least two opinions that say chayev. No, I've got to have a bezdin of three. And in the event that one says, I don't know, well, he is as good as non-existent, so I don't have a bezdin of three. Rabbi Avraham, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just want a question, just go back a step. And that is, when they're cross-examining the Edom, which Edom are they, or does it matter? Are they referring to the Malveh or the Loveh, or does it really not matter?
We're not addressing the Malveh or the Loveh themselves. It's two Edom.
Well, I know, I understand that. But the Edom are representing who?
And it makes no difference.
Does make no difference. Okay.
No. This is the story that we saw. This is the story that we're testifying about. Okay, we'll have to hold it over here. Be'ez Hashem will continue tomorrow. We'll be well. Be'ez Hashem is Baruch.